Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Beis. We're beginning already halfway down Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we started the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ein Polchasin Esaner. You're not allowed to be Polches Aner. Rashi explains that this means to take Litol Echod Min HaBitzim Shol Yotzer, to take one of the pieces of clay that a potterer uses to go and make earthenware utensils. And what you do is you take this piece of clay, this ball of clay, and Rashi says, the litchov egrofo, you press your thumb, litocho, into it, lach kok, to go and chisel out, to hollow out, ner, a lamp, receptacle that you now could put oil into and have usage as a lamp. And he says, you're not allowed to do this, mipnei she'osa kli, because you're making a kli, and you're not allowed to go make a kli on yontif. So, ein pochas es aner on yontif. You're not allowed to go and create this hollowed out ball of clay to use as a lamp. You can't do that on yontif, mipnei she'osa kli, because the Mishnah says, because you're making a kli. Ein osa pechamim b'yontif, and likewise, you're not allowed to go and make a pechem. A pechem is like a coal. Now, they didn't use their coals just for cooking, they also used the coals, Rashi said, as a kli. As the inhunami kli, this pechamim, these coals are also kli, the tsarfezah, for goldsmiths. And they would use this in some way as a goldsmith, and therefore you're not allowed to make these pechamim, these coals, for the goldsmith to use on yontif. Likewise, another example of a kli, Rashi says, vein chot kin es hapsila. You're not allowed to take a knife or scissors and cut a wick, en chot kin es hapsila, and make it from a single wick into two wicks. That is not allowed. All of this is because you're making a kli, Rashi says. Rav Yehuda disagrees in the last part. Rav Yehuda Omer, chotcha ba'or. You're allowed to go take a fire and burn through this single wick and make it into two separate wicks. The Gemara will explain on the word circumstances Rav Yehuda allows this, because the obvious question that the Gemara is going to ask is, what difference does it make if you're taking a scissors and cutting it into two, or you're taking a flame, and as a result of burning it, you're cutting it into two. Gemara starts off and says, Man tana de pechisas ner manuhu. Who is the author of our Mishnah that says that when you go and hollow out this ball of clay and turning it into a ner, into a lamp, you're not allowed to do so because you're making it into a utensil. Whose opinion is this? Some Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef tells us, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. This is the Tanoic opinion of Rabbi Meir. Where do we see this? From the following Brice of the Tanya. Kli cheres me'emos ha'makabel tuma. Now, in order for something to be makabel tuma, it must be a utensil. It must have the status of being a kli. So earthenware, at what point does it become considered to be a kli that it could be makabel tuma? So it depends. The Tanakhama says, this is Rabbi Meir, mishenigmura melachto, when it has been completed, when you've made it into a kli, then it is able to now accept tuma, Diri Rav Meir. So in other words, he holds that you have to go and turn it into something that's useful, i.e. make it into a kli, in order for it now to be a kli that can be makabel tuma. Rabbi Shua disagrees. Rabbi Shua Meir, it's not enough that it could be used right now. So, for example, Rabbi Meir says, as soon as you put your thumb into this potter's clay and you hollow it out, so, boom, you have a kli. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Therefore, it can be makabel tuma. Rabbi Shua says, no. Rabbi Shua says, that's not considered completing it. Rabbi Shua Omer, Mishi Yitzufu Bakivshon. You have to put it into the kiln, you have to put it into the oven, into the fire, and harden it and make it into a real kli in order for it to be considered Nigmaru Melachto, that it is considered now finished and is considered a kli to be makabel tuma. So obviously, the author of our Mishnah seems to be Rabbi Meir, who holds that even though you didn't put it into the kiln, just by hollowing it out, that makes it into a kli. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, who says, Mimai, how do we know this is true? Dilmor, maybe in the Brisa that we just brought down, Ad kan lo kama Rav Meir Hossam, the only reason Rav Meir said that it's considered a kli in the Brisa when you have nigro malachto is because elo dechoze likabule beimidi, because this is something that now can hold things inside of it. It's a clay kibul, it has a receptacle area, and it's a big receptacle area, and you can put something inside of it. So this is a larger type of a utensil, and you can put various things inside of it. You could store fruit inside of it. Avohacha, but in our case with the ner, which is a very small item, Lemai Chazi, in what possible way would it be considered a kli that even Rabbi Meir, who says that the larger kli that we're dealing with, the kli cheres, is makabel tuma because it's able to have things put inside of it, like kabule bemidi, but this small little nair, this little potter's clay that you just put your fist into, what could that possibly hold? Lemai Chazi. So some have the girsa, it's chaze, you add the word chaze twice, chaze le kabule be pshite. No, it could put little coins in, you could use a little pushka, you can use a little receptacle to put coins in there. So therefore, even this little tiny nair is considered a kli, and therefore, Rav Yosef is correct in saying that the author of our Mishnah is Rav Meir. That's the first version that we have of Rav Yosef saying who's the author of our Mishnah. The second version that we have, Ika D'Amre, when they asked who's the author of our Mishnah, so Amar Rav Yosef said it's Rabbi Eliezer b'Rav Tzadoki. The author of our Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of Eliezer Tzadok. What is that? It's not. Because here we have a different Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Edios that also discusses a Kli, at what point the Kli is considered capable of being Makabel Tumah. So, Ilfosin Choronios. This Ilfosin Choronios, Rashi tells us from later on, before Ish Lekamon, are Ka'oros Shel Bnei Ayoros. These are the plates that the villagers, the Bnei Ayoros, the people living in the small little villages, would use as plates. She'enam Bnei Krachem Gidolim. They're not like the people that live in the big city. Ve'en Makpidim Al Kelim Noim. Rashi says the people in the villages don't really care about having fancy plates. They're happy. If they have a plate that's functional, they're happy. And when you flattened out the potter's clay and made it into a plate, so Ochlin Babasu, they're perfectly happy to put a piece of meat on it and use it as a plate. Vein mamtinim, and they don't wait. They don't wait till you hollow it out and make it into a receptacle and go and put it into the kiln and finish it off as a full-fledged utensil. So these ilfosin choronios, these plates that the villagers use, that's what ilfosin choronios means. So the Mishnah tells us in Edios, these are tahoros, they're not yet capable of mekabel tumah, ba'ol ha'meis, because they don't have a clay kibble, and an earthenware utensil, Rashi tells us, the legabe ol ha'meis, bo'inan toch l'kli. For an earthenware utensil to be able to be mekabel tumah, it has to have an inside and an outside. The inside is what accepts tumah. Earthenware utensils don't accept tumah from the outside, but you need to have an inside and an outside. So therefore, if it's a flat plate, so it is not considered a kli in regards to tumas hames, and therefore, it is not going to be capable of being accepting tuma in the ol hames. However, utmeos b'maso azob, if a zob were to go and carry it, it could be makabel tuma. Why is this? Rashi explains: shazob metami kli cheres behesed. The zob is metami a kli cheres just by moving it, as we learn in Torah's Kohanim, mivachol kli cheres ashiyga bo hazob. So this is true. Any type of moving this kli cheres is going to make it metame from the zob. The kibun de metame le hest may have right. Now moving it is from the outside. So lo boi toch. For tumas zov, the Tanakhama says that you don't require a toch, and therefore a flat plate would also be makabel tuma. And ksav Tanakhama cleaninu. It is considered a kli, hol mishtam shemem kamo shein, since the villagers use it to put meat on it, because it doesn't need a base kibble, it can be just a flat plate. And therefore, hilkach makabim tumba bidava roli tamon. And therefore, a zov could be mitamiyat. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer Ratzadok. This is Rabbi Yosef says, the author of our Mishnah. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer Ratzadok, and he tells us in this Mishnah, Ebi is Omer, after Horos b'masa zov. He says, no, it's not makabel tumah, even from the movement, the masa, the carrying it of a zov. Why not? Lefi shalo nigmaro melachton. Because it hasn't yet been completed. You haven't made it into a clay kibble. You don't have to put it into the fire, but you have to have hollowed out an area. And therefore, since it doesn't have a clay kibble, it is not makabel tumah's masa zov, never mind not makabel tumah from ol hames. Therefore, you see clearly, the relaza root sadok holds that you need to have a clay kibble, even though it hasn't been put into the fire, but if it had a clay kibble, it could be makabel tumah from the zov, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Tzadok, is the author of our Mishnah that said that ein pochas in a saner, it makes you also clean, because just by hollowing it out, you made it into a clay, even without putting it into the fire. Again, Abaye asks in this version on Rav Yosef as well. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, no, maybe not. Maybe Dilmah, the only time that Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok says in this mission Edios is Ad kan lo kamer Rav Elazar Eliezer Rav Tzadok Hasam. He says it over there in Edios because Ela Dechazi Le Kabule B'midi, because it could hold something. It's a big plate, like we just said. Aval Hacha, in the case of our little lamp in the Mishnah, our Nair, L'may Chazi, for what is it possibly good? And again, some of the Girsos say over here, the word chazi again, chazi lekabule bepshiti. It can go, and again, put coins into it, so it can be a base kibble for that, and therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Tzadok is in fact the author of our Mishnah. So the two versions that we have are Rabbi Yosef, either the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, or the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, but Rav Tzadok. That anymore continues, it says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the following Braisa, similar to our Mishnah, it says, Ein Pochas in a Sanir. You're not allowed to go and hollow out this lump of clay and make it into a base kibble. Likewise, Ein Osin Ilfosin Charanios B'Yontif. And it says, likewise, you can't make these flat plates that the villagers use on Yontif. And along comes in this Braisa, Shimon Gamlielo, Matir Bilfosin Charanios. He says, no, making these flat plates, that's not a problem. Again, the reasoning is that Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds that it needs to have a base kibble. If it doesn't have a base kibble, so then it's not yet a kli, and therefore there's no issue in doing it on Yontif. Now the Gemara asks, we've already answered this already, the Gemara asks, my charonios, what are these plates that we're dealing with that are called these charonios? So I reviewed the Ironios. They're also known as Ironios. That doesn't help us that much. Where it says, my Ironios. What are these Ironios? So, Amabai, these are the tsoi, the plates of Chaklayosa. Chaklayosa are the name that we give to the villagers, the people that are living in these small little villages. So, these are the plates of these villages. Like we said, we call them before Ilfosin Charonios, or they are also known as Ilfosin Ironios, or they're known as the plates of Chaklayosa. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, Einos in Pechomim. We said, you're not allowed to make these coals, which the goldsmiths would use as a kli. Gemara says, obviously not Pshita, Levi Chosi, they have no usable purpose, that yeah, the goldsmiths aren't allowed to use them on Yontif, so of course you can't make these coals. Gemara says, no. Tani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia taught us in a Braisa, Lo Nitzucha, El Lemosron, Lo Yorin, Levo Bayom. We needed to teach us that you can't go and make these coals to give them to the bathhouse attendants. Lo Yorin are the people that took care of the bathhouse. Now, this is prior to the gzeira that the rabbis brought down in Gemara on Shabbos that said that you're not allowed to go and take baths on Shabbos or Yontif because of the concern that you may come to heat up the water. So this din that our Mishnah is telling us that you can't make these pechamim was before we had this gzeira, and to come to teach us that you're not allowed to go and give these coals to the El Yorin. Gemara says, Uvo bayo mishari. But wait a second, we have this gezeira that said you're not allowed to go take a bath on Yontif. So why would you think that you're allowed to do this? So Gemara says, no, kidama Rava, because as I pointed out, and this is where I got it from, Rava had said, Lahazia, originally you were allowed to go into the bathhouse because it was a shvitz, and you went there Lahazia to go into the shvitz without necessarily taking a bath. They called them gzeira, and as I pointed out, this was before the gzeira that you're not allowed to go bathe on Shabbos or Yontif with previously heated up water because you may come to heat up the water. And this was also prior to the decree that you're not allowed to go to these bathhouses even to go as a shvitz. So, hochanami, lahazia, v'kol them gzeira. So this chiddush is over here that you're not allowed to do this even before the gzeira. You wouldn't be allowed to go and make these charcoals for the olyorin to go heat up the bathhouse to make it into a shvitz. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, and we asked in the Mishnah the obvious question. It said in the Mishnah, "Ein chotchin as a psil l'shnayim." You're not allowed to go take a knife or a scissors and cut the psil into two. But we said you are allowed to take a flame according to Rabbi Yehuda, chotcha b'ur. So Gemara says, "Ma'ishno besakin delo, or ma'ishno b'ur the cane." That's right. Why are you not allowed to go and cut it with a knife or a scissors, but you are allowed to go and burn it in two with a flame? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Either it's allowed or it's not allowed. So we turn to Lamed Beis, Omid Beis, and we try to give an answer. First we say, because when you cut it with the scissors, achas hoysa, it was one, Rashi says, v'osa so shtayim, and now you're making it to two. So the Gemara asks the question again. So, b'ur nami, komasakim mona, how does it help you that you're doing it with a knife or a scissors? It should be the exact same thing if you're doing it with a flame. You made it from one into two. So Gemara says, Tani Ruchi, again, Ruchi learned in a Braisa, Chodcha Bu'ur, the reason why you're allowed to go and use a flame to cut it into two, because Bifi Shtei Neros, you put the two ends of the wick, it's one long wick, and you put one end into one lamp, and you put one end into the other lamp. And now, when you take the flame and you light it, so it looks like you're just lighting the flame. It's going to split into two now. It'll now have a wick on the left lamp, let's say, and a wick on the right lamp. It was really one long wick originally, but now the flame, when you put it in the middle, will separate the two, and now you have two wicks. It doesn't look like you're going and being masaking it. It looks like you were lighting the lamp, and therefore, bepishnei neros, when you're doing it with a or with a flame, so therefore it is allowed. That's the chiddush, the difference between, Rav Yehuda says, I'm not allowed to go cut it with a scissors or a knife, but you would be allowed to go and separate the single wick into two wicks with a flame if you have the two ends of the wick in different lamps. Bar tells us another halacha. Amar Rav Nosson bar Abba, Amar Rav. Rav Nosson bar Abba says the name of Rav. Mohatin es apsila biyontif. Now some have the girsa mohatin. Whatever this is, mohatin or mohatin, we have to ask what it is. And where it says, my mohatin or mohatin, what exactly does this word mean? So Amar Rav Chanina bar Shalmia. Rav Chanina bar Shalmia says, and we have in parentheses the word mishmei de Rav. It's not clear if it was said over the name of Rav or not. He said, la aduye chushka. It means, Rashi says, kishinases birosho pechom ma'avira. It has a little bit of like a charcoal at the top, and you take it off, ma'avira, you cut it off. So this mohatin or mohatin means to trim off or cut off the little piece of coal that is at the top of the wick. There seems to be a machlokis in Rashi. Rashi in one place seems to say you do this when it's not lit, and in another place he seems to say you do it while it is lit. In any event, Tosos says it definitely means while it's lit. Mark continues and says, Tani Bakapara, Bakapara taught us Vav Dvarim, six things, Nemru B'Psila, six halachos about a psila, Gimel Hachmir, three of them were astringency about the din of psila, the Gimel Hakim, three of them were a kula about the din of wick. The first three, Lahachmir, are as follows. Number one, in Godlin, Godlin means to braid or to weave, in Godlin also Lechatchila B'Yontif, you're not allowed to go and braid a wick on Yontif. You're making it into a kli, you're making it into a wick, and that's not allowed. That's din number one. Number two, that we're machmir. It says, ve'ein mahav havin osa b'ur. You're not allowed to go and light it, and then put it out, so it will light more easily the next time. Many people have the custom that they light the Shabbos lift for their wife, and then they blow it out, so when your wife goes and lights it, so it will light more easily. I remember trying to do this when I first got married, Baruch Hashem, many, many, many years ago, and my wife said, it's actually harder for her to light it when it's already been lit once, so she prefers that I not do that. So I'm mekayem the idea that the man should help his wife to light the candles by setting up the candles. We put now paraffin in our candles, and I put in the paraffin, and I put it out, and my wife lights. So the husband has an obligation to try to help his wife lighting, and one of the ways that they used to do that, at least in the times of the Gemara, seemed to work very well, was mahav hevin. They would go and light it first, and then blow it out, and light it again. So the chumra here is ve'ein mahav hevin osa b'or. You're not allowed to go and do this on yontif. The reason why you can't do this is because you're making it into a kli again. You're making it into a better kli. And number three, the third chumra, ve'ein chotchin osa l'shnayim. A person is not allowed to go, as we just said, take a knife or a scissors and cut it into two. So those are the three l'chumra. The three l'hokel are as follows. Memacha biyad. Memacha means to press, to squeeze. So you're allowed to go and squeeze this wick with your hand. While this makes it into a better kli, this is done in a non-normal way. It's a shinui, Rashi says, so therefore you're allowed to do this. Rashi says this is a tikkun klachar yad, and therefore it's allowed. Kula number two, vishoru b'shemen, you're allowed to soak the wick in oil. Now, that's going to make it light better, so you might have thought you're making it into a better kli, but no, this is normal. This is considered something that's acceptable. And number three, kula, v'chotcha bu'ur b'fish de'neros. As we brought down from Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, if you have the two ends of the single wick in two different lamps, then you can go light it in the middle, and it'll cause it to separate into two wicks. That is allowed because it looks like you're just lighting it and not trying to make it into two new kalim. Mark continues and says, Omer Rav Nosson bar Abba, Omer Rav. Rav Nosson bar Abba said the name of Rav, Asirei Bavel, Yorde Gehenim. The rich people that live in Bavel, they're all going to go to Gehenim. Why is that? Because of the following Maisa, which just illustrates the unfortunate character that many of these rich people in Bavel apparently had. Kiha, like it happened, the Shabsai bar Morinus was a person, name of a man, who iklal Bavel, went to Bavel, and boy minayu iska v'lo yovule. He wanted to do a business deal with people. In other words, he wanted to borrow money from them. He would go and purchase produce, and then he would split the profits with them, and in this way he would do iska. Rashi says, schora l'shtaker l'machzis schar. So he wanted to go into partnership with them, and not a single one of the rich people there was willing to go into partnership with him. Okay, that you could maybe understand. But then he was starving. He had no food. So Mizone, Mezanami Lozaniu. So he asked them for food. Listen, I have no food. You're not letting me go into business with you. It's a much higher form of tzedakah, by the way, to go and assist somebody in business than to actually give them just an outright smaller donation. If you can help somebody in business, so then you're really helping them for all long term and not just on a one-time basis now and then he needs food again tomorrow. So It actually would have been much nicer if they'd done Iska with him. But okay, they didn't want to do Iska with him, so at least support the poor guy, the Lo Yavule. They didn't want to give him anything. Meizan Nami Lo Zainuhu. So they didn't go into business with him, and they didn't support him. So Nebuch, this poor Shabsi Bar Marina, said, Omar, Hani me Erev Rav Kosu. These people obviously aren't really Jewish. They came from the Erev Rav. They left with us from Mitzrayim, and the Erev Rav were Goyim, and these are descendants of the Erev Rav. How does he know this? Because the pasuk says, "V'nasan lucho rachamim v'richamecha." I gave you rachamim that you should have rachamim to other people. I showed you how to be merciful, and you should therefore be merciful to others. As Rashi says, "Rachim ala brios." This mercy that I've shown you should engender you to be merciful to other people. And it says, call Merachim al Abrios. If somebody is Merachim on the Brios, so Biyadu Hashum Yizerish al Avram Avinu. He obviously is a descendant from Avram Avinu, who was the classical example, the paradigm of Gemilas Chasadim, of being Merachim on people who are not as fortunate as you. So therefore, if you are Merachim on other people, you're clearly a descendant of Avram Avinu. However, if you don't have that character trait, it's not in your DNA, so you don't have the DNA from Avram Avinu, you're clearly not a lineage from Avram Avinu. So therefore, this Shabsai Bar Marina said that these people in Babel, the rich guys in Babel, they're not from the Zera of Avram Avinu, because they were very not nice to him. And that's why Rav Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rav that the Sasira Babel, Yor de Gehenim, they're going to go down to Gehenim because they didn't help out Nebuch, a poor Yid in trouble. Amar Rav Nosson Bar Abba, Amar Rav, another statement that Rav Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rav. Often again, we find that we have statements like this when you have an Amora that's not so frequently found, so we lump his statements together. So Rav Nosson Bar Abba is not a very, very frequently named Amora, so we have another statement they made in the name of Rav, so they're put together. If somebody is dependent upon other people for food, in other words, he's always relying upon support from other people, Olam Choshech Ba'ado. The whole world is dark to him. In other words, it's a very difficult situation to be in, that you're relying and dependent upon other people to give you food. And this is based upon the Pasuk in Iyov, Shenamar, No Deid, a person wanders around, Hula Lechem, looking for bread and saying, Aye, where is the bread? So Yada Kinochem Biyodom Yom Choshech. That person, unfortunately, is living in darkness. And Ruchista added, Ruchista Omar, Avchayav Enochayim. His life's not worth living, so to say. His life is a very difficult life. If he's constantly, you know, looking, where's my next meal coming from? Where's my next meal coming from? That's not an easy life. That's a life that's Enochayim. It's not really life. Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, on this discussion. Gimul Chayim Enochayim. There are three people whose life, so to say, is not worth living. Not Rachmona Litzlan, that you're allowed to do anything about it, but it's just telling us how difficult such a person's life is if they have these three conditions in their life. So Elohein, one is what we just said. Hamatzapa l'shulchan chabero. If somebody's always dependent upon other people for their food, that's number one. Number two, umisha ishto moshelisalav. If somebody has a wife that is overbearing and is making his life every moment very difficult, so that's not a life worth living. Misha ishto moshelisalav is a person who's not getting a moment's relief. He's constantly under the overbearance of his wife, so that person is not going to be having a good life. And number three, Mishi Yisurin Moshe Lamagufo, Rachmona Litzlan, if a person has Yisurin, he has terrible suffering, he's in pain, Nebuch. So such a person in his life, if somebody Nebuch is in pain, it's very, very difficult for them to have a moment's relaxation of peace. And therefore, these three characteristics or conditions are considered Chayav Einun Chayim. That's not a life worth living, so to say. Again, not the Chas Hashom, you'll have to do something about it. It's just commenting on how difficult that person's life is. It's not considered life. And then a fourth condition is added. The Yeshomim, some say, Af Misha Enlo Elo Choluk Echot. If somebody only has one pair of clothing, so then in that situation, Rashi explains, Ein Yochol L'chabso, he can't bring it to the launderer. V'chkinim Mitzarin or so, he's going to get lice on his clothing because they're never cleaned, because he can't change it. They're not going to walk around naked, so he has no opportunity to clean his clothing, so his life is miserable as well, because he has lice, which are very uncomfortable. No, that sounds like a pretty bad thing to have. Why did the Tanakhama list that as well? The Tanakhama, why did he only say three and not four? He didn't ask this Yesh Omrim, because he says, Efshur d'ma'ayin b'mone. He says, no, even though you can't bring it to the launderer, nevertheless, Mefala, Rashi says, as Caleb b'nakinim. He can go and look at the clothing that he's wearing while he's wearing it and pick off the eggs of the lice. And therefore, he won't necessarily be in terrible discomfort or miserable because he has lice all over him. No, he can see the lice on the clothing and throw them away. So therefore, even if you can't go to the launderer, nevertheless, this isn't so terrible according to the Tanakhama. Okay, we should all be zolcha to just learn this lahag del Torah la'adira, and we shouldn't have to ever be in a situation to nebuch suffer any of these terrible indignities. Next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, ein shovrin es acheres, a person is not allowed to go break a kli cheres. We'll see, we're using it to go grill fish. So you're not allowed to take a kli cheres and break it to make a shard of pottery that you can put the fish on and put it on the fire to grill it. Likewise, in chot chananiyah, you're not allowed to go cut a piece of paper to use that as well. You wet it, Rashi says, so it won't burn, and you put it down on the grill, and you then put the fish on top of it. In both of these situations, Rashi says, you're doing this to prevent the fish from getting burnt. If you put the fish directly on the hot grill, so parts of it will get burned, and the other parts won't get roasted well. So therefore, you want to have a smooth roasting of the entire fish, so you have to put it on something, not directly on the grill. So therefore, you're not allowed to go on Yontif, break a kli cheres to make the shard of pottery to put the fish on, or to cut a piece of paper, a wet piece of paper, to go put the fish on, litzlos bo moliach, to go and roast a salted fish. All of these would be not allowed. They are considered machshirei ochel nefesh. And we had said previously that the Chachamim don't allow machshirei ochel nefesh. Now, Rabbi Yehuda does allow machshirei ochel nefesh, which happens to be the way that we paskin, but our Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, likewise, ve'en gorfin tanur v'chiraim. A tanur is a one-pot stove, and kiraim are a two-pot oven, and you're not allowed to go if they came apart, they cement inside of them, if it fell into the tanur, as Rashi says, im nofal esocho min hatofel vatiach, if some of the cement from inside this oven fell into the bottom of the oven, and they would go and put, Rashi explains, their doughs against the side of the oven, and if there was filled up stuff at the bottom, it would burn these doughs. So what you're not allowed to do, because it's also machshiri ochel nefesh, it's not real ochel nefesh, you're not allowed to go and shovel out the bottom of this tanur or kirayim. In Garfin also, Rashi says, the misakin manhu, because this would be fixing the oven. And we hold like the Rabbanim. Rashi says, but also the Rabbanim, the Amrei machshir echo nefesh asire. And therefore, you're not allowed to go and do this. However, avol mechabshin, what you are allowed to do is be mechabshin. Rashi says, mashkivin eso efer v'o offer. What you are allowed to do is go and press down on this cement or this dirt or this ashes over here so that it's pressed down on the bottom of the oven and it won't come into contact with the dough that you've plastered on the side walls of the oven. Mashveyu, you flatten it out, shol yiga bepas shemeduvokim bidafnosov. The Yisufu, and this way the dough won't get burned because you flattened out this stuff at the bottom. Now the Mishnah tells us a new idea. Vein mekifin, you're not allowed to go and be mekifin. It means like hakofos that we're about to do on Simchas Torah. So to encircle, ein mekifin shtechavios, to put a barrel to the left and a barrel to the right, and then lishbos aleim esekteri, and then put your pot on top of them, you light a fire in between these two barrels, and you'll use this basically to cook on. So you're not allowed to go and do this on Yontif because it's building. You're making this utensil, this pot. Similarly, the Mishnah says, Vein soch min esagder v'bikas. You can't go and support this pot with a piece of wood. We'll see in the Gemara that the wood is not used here for hasaka. It's not used as firewood. It's used to support the pot. And therefore, it's not being used for the thing that it's supposed to be used for firewood, and therefore it is muktzah. A strange idea that this wood is only allowed to be used for firewood if you're using it for something else. We'll see. This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda here that says that it is muktzah. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to be somech the kedera on this piece of wood. And then it says, v'chein bedelis. Likewise, you can't do this with a delis. Tomorrow's going to say, who puts a pot on the door? It's going to break the door if you do this. So we'll see that you're not allowed to support the delis with a bikas. That's also what it means. V'chein bedelis means that just like you can't support the kedera on a bikas, you can't support a door on a bikas. And finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, v'ein manhigin es habehema, if you can't take a piece of wood and go and use it to lead your animal, to steer your animal on Yontif, because again, the Tana of our Mishnah holds the wood is only allowed to be used for firewood, and using it for anything else is not allowed. However, we conclude the Mishnah of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is matir. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon's son, is matir in this situation. More or less, does he hold like his father? Is that why? Because Rabbi Shimon, his father, doesn't hold for muktzah. So are we going to say Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon also doesn't hold for muktzah? So we will discuss this when we get to the Gemara. Now the Gemara starts and says, "My taima, why are you not allowed to go and take a cheres and break it or cut a piece of paper in order to be tzola to roast this fish?" So Gemara says, "Mishum de komasaki mon, because you're making a utensil over here." Then the Mishnah said, "Likewise, vein garfin tanur v'chinarim, you're not allowed to go and shovel out the bottom of the tanur v'chinarim that had some cement or other things that were in the bottom that would ruin your dough." So the Gemara says, "Tani Rav Chiya bar Yosef, kamei Rav Nachman, the Amor Rav Chiya bar Yosef learned in front of Rav Nachman the following brisa. It says, v'im ef shor le'efos elam kein garfo mutter. If you have no choice, you would otherwise be unable to bake, so then you would be allowed to go and bake in this situation." Rashi points out that this brisa goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who permits machshir yochol nefesh, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that you should have done this all before yantiv. But if miyafshar, if you weren't able to do it before yantiv, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to do machshir yochol nefesh even on yantiv. So this brisa goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Then we say the visu de Rabbi Chiya, the wife of Rabbi Chiya, nofal lo oricha b'tanura, a brick. Aricha is really a half of a brick, fell into her oven, b'yomotov on yontif, and she obviously now would be in violation of our Mishnah if she were to go and shovel it out. But her husband tells her, Amalah Rav Chiya tells his wife, Chazi, you should know, da'ana rifta ma'ayaso bo'ina. I want to have good bread. I don't want my dough to be burned by this stuff at the bottom. So therefore, I'm makbid on it, and therefore, you are allowed to go and shovel out the oven, because we pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, and this was Yevshah before Yantif, and this is going to impact my Simchas Yantif, because I don't like burnt bread, and therefore, Rav Chiya told his wife, we pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, even though this is Machshiri Ochol Nefesh, you're allowed to go and do this on Yantif. Similarly, Amalei Rav Olashameh, Rav said to his Shamas, and he told him, Tevei li bar avoza, I want you to go and roast a bar avoza, that's a goose, I want you to go and roast this for me, but be careful, v'yizdar mecharucha, make sure that you don't burn it. In other words, if the bottom of this oven has stuff in it, go and shovel it out. Again, we pasuk like Rav Yehuda, machshir ochol nefesh are good, and I want to have a nice goose on yontif, I want my simchas yontif, and therefore, don't go and burn it for me, be careful not to burn it. Gemara continues and tells us another halacha. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Ravina and Ravashi lived at the end of the period of time of the Gemara. So Ravina says to Ravashi, I heard this following halacha in your name. Is it really true? And he told Ravashi, Amar lo Rav Achami Hutzol, Rav Acha, who came from Hutzol, said in your name, Demar, Mar Rashi says means Ravashi, Sharkin le Tanura, he allowed, in other words, you, Ravashi, allowed them to put mud. Sharkin means to put mud, as Rashi says, Tochin, Svivos Kisui Pihatanur. You allowed them to put mud around the surfaces of this tanur. And Rashi explains, Shelo Yetze Chomo, Kishatzli Betocho, in order to seal in the heat on the inside when it's being roasted. Sharuach Koshelitzli, because if it didn't have a good seal around it, then the wind, the air would come inside and would ruin the roasting. Now, Vitamalon Milsa, how are you allowed to do this? Mishum de Gibul Tid told the Delishu. How were you allowed to go and put mud around your oven to seal it in? Well, this is what Rav Acha Mihutzel said that you allowed. So Ravina is asking Ravashi, how could you allow this? What about the prohibition of kneading, of Gibul, kneading with a K? How are you allowed to do this? So Ravashi tells him, Amalei, because Anan, when I permitted this, we weren't kneading any mud. We weren't doing Gibul on the mud. We already had plenty of mud. We lived near the river Euphrates, the Pras, and we relied upon the mud from this river, the naturally occurring mud. We didn't have to go and knead anything. We didn't pour water into earth to make mud. There was plenty of mud around. However, that's only true of Hani Mili, who the Tzairei Me'esmo. That's if they marked off this mud is Muchan, so they make sure that they have mud that's able to be used. Otherwise, the mud would be Muktzah. As Rashi says, also bosimin, they made some sort of a simin on it, the nitku litzad ech acher, and they put it aside, and therefore that's where they're allowed to use it. Amar Ravina, Ravina added, and he said, the kit moshari. By the way, if you wanted to seal off the oven with ashes, that would be acceptable as well. As Rashi points out, legablo velotuachbo delav bargibelu. Here you can add some water to the ashes, and that's not a problem because it's not something that gets kneaded, and therefore the ashes would be fine. If you didn't have mud, you could use ashes, and that would serve the same purpose of sealing off the oven, and there would be no problem of kneading in this case as well. Tosfos questions this sheet of Rashi and says, why would it not be kneading? After all, the Gemara in Shabbos told us that even if you don't need it, but just the action of adding water to dirt, that is called kneading, even if there is no real kneading underway. So therefore, Tosfos says that when Ravina said that kitno is shari, it meant you can use the ashes over here without adding water to them. When they're dry, they would serve the same purpose over here, even below Nesinas Mayim, to go and seal off the oven. Alternatively, Tosa says, if you had needed it on Erev Yontif, so then you would be allowed to go and do it as well on Yontif. Gemara continues and says, we quote the Mishnah of Ein Makif in Shtei Chavios. In the next section of the Mishnah, we said that you weren't allowed to go and place two barrels, one near the other one, and then put a pot in between them, put a fire underneath them, and go and heat up the pot, because that would be considered that you're making it into a kli. Amar Rav Nachman explains, Avonim shel beis hakisei mutar letzadidam biyontif. As opposed to, when you're going to sit in the bathroom, you have to make a makeshift bathroom, so you could put two rocks, one to the left and one to the right, and sit in between them and use that to defecate, and that would be allowed. So as opposed to the pot, you weren't allowed to put a pot on two barrels, but you would be allowed to put two rocks and sit in between them. That is permissible. So they asked Rav Nachman, how come? Asa Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, what's the difference? We learned in our Mishnah, Eimei Kippur Shtei Chavios Lishmos Aleinu Sekdeira, you're not allowed to put the two barrels near each other, then put the pot on top of them. So how come you can put two rocks near each other and you sit on top of them? How come that's allowed? Rav Nachman responded and he said, Amalei, shiny hosim, there's a big difference. When you're dealing with pots, you're doing something that is incorrect because it looks like you're building something. Mishum, they call Ovid Ohala. It's as if you're making Ohel, you're making a binyan. So that's why you can't put the pot on the top of these two barrels. However, the person, that's not considered making a Ohel when he sits on top of these two rocks. More questions this. Amalei Rabba Zuta L'Ravashi. Rabba Zuta said to Ravashi, why not? Elami Ata Bono Itzaba B'Yontif. If you're going to make a platform, and it's about some sort of like a platform or a chair on Yontif, Rashi says it's kisei shel binyan levenim v'tit. It's a builder's type of a chair that's made up of bricks and cement. In other words, you're putting two stones or bricks near each other, and then you're sitting on top of it. And there it says, d'lo avid ha'ala, that's not considered that you're making an ohel, and hachanami d'shari. Is that really allowed? You're not allowed to do that. So if you're not allowed to do that, how come you're allowed to go and sit on these two rocks or these two stones? Why isn't that considered ohel? So Gemara says, Rav Ashi tells him, you're right. Amalei, hasam binyan keva osra Torah. When you're dealing with the chair that we're talking about, you take two bricks and you cement them together. So that's a real issa of building. Torah says you can't do that. However, binyan arai lo osra Torah, to make a temporary binyan, such as the two barrels, and to put a pot on top of that, that's not an issa deraisa. That's a temporary structure. That's a binyan arai, and they have a lo osra Torah. However, the rabbi said, if we allow you to do that, you may come to build a permanent structure, because rabbanan al binyan arai mishum binyan keba. If we let you put the two barrels together with a pot on top of it, before you know it, you're going to solidify that and make it into a real oven. And that's not allowed. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzera. But when you're dealing over here with the Gzera de Rabbanon, the rabbis didn't make the same Gzera de Rabbanon, v'hocha mishum kvodo. This guy, Nebuch, he has to go to the bathroom. He needs a place to sit down. If you don't let him do this, it's going to be a terrible lack of kavod for this person. So mishum kvodo, lo gozo be Rabbanon. The rabbis didn't institute the Din de Rabbanon in the case of the two stones making a bathroom, but they did institute the Rabbanon when you're dealing with the two barrels to not allow you to put the pot on top of them, because that could lead to an issa d'oraisa. And since there's no kavod for the person in this situation, the rabbi said, we are instituting the Gzera D'Rabbanan with the two barrels and the pot on top of it. Finally, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, hai medurta. A medurta is like a campfire. When you go make a campfire, so you go stack up the twigs or the branches that you're making the campfire on in all four directions, and you go and create a structure. So you're building something. So you want to build this campfire, so milamala limata shari. You basically hold first the top part with your hands, you hold the top part up, and then you build below it, so that's not the normal way of building, so that's allowed. Milamata limala, but to build it up from the bottom up, that's also, you're not allowed to go do that on Yontif, because it looks too much like building. As Rashi points out, when you're building it from the top down, that's a shinui, that's klach hayad, and therefore the rabbis didn't say that that's forbidden. But if you're building from the bottom up, that looks too much like the normal way of building, and therefore the rabbi said, you can't do that. We turn to Lamed Gimel over Aleph. The same thing would apply, the Gemara says, V'chein be'isa. Be'isa means eggs. Rashi says, Beitzim gassos, these large eggs, hanesunos alpi kli cholo, cane tripod. You're putting it on top of a utensil like a tripod, or oskula, or in a griddle, on a grill. Ain moshivin esakli trila. What you can't do is first put the kli, and then achakach yisadu lov, and then put the eggs on top of it. Ella, what should you do? Ella yochazenu biyado. Hold this frying pan in your hand. Put the eggs into it. Yochazenu biyado. Yoshev abeitz olav. Then put the eggs on top of it. And then viachakach yoshev akli ala gecholim shlo yasenu kisei debinyan. And then put the kli on top of the coals. And in this way, it won't be the normal way that you're doing it. You're doing it with a shinui, and that's allowed. So that's what you do when you're making this eggs. Likewise, v'chein kidera, same thing would apply if you're making a pot. Rashi says, shemoshivin abez chavios, like you're putting the pot on these two barrels that we said you're not allowed to do. So lo yakif and atchila, don't put the two barrels out there first and then put the pot on top of it. Ella, what should you do? Ella, hel yona yislabavir. First put the pot in the airspace over there, and then you're holding it in your hand, yochzen biyado, v'yisadrua chavios tachtel asoviv, and then put the barrels underneath the pot, and that's again done with the shinui, and it's allowed. And likewise, v'chein bepuria, you're allowed to do this when you're constructing a bed. Mitos hasorim, these are like the royal beds, sheparkin oson, they would take them apart and put them back together, machzirin. So lo yiskov ha-karayim trila. Don't put up the legs first and then put the top part down, but put the top part there and then put the legs underneath it, and that way you're allowed to do this because you're doing it with a shinoi. And finally, v'chein chavisa. The same thing applies to the barrels. Chavio shemesadjim ba'otzar. If you're putting barrels in a store area, moshivin achas agabishtayim, and you're putting stacking the barrels, so put the upper one first and then put the barrels below it, and this way it's not done in the normal way. And in all of these situations, with the egg or with the pot or with the bed or with the barrels, you're doing it with a shinoi, and all of this is allowed. Finally, Gemara says, "V'ein somchin esakdera mebikas v'chein badelis." So we explained this before. We had said that you're not allowed to go and put the kedera, your pot, on a piece of wood, and then it said also v'chein badelis, implying that you can't put the pot on the door. So the Gemara questions that. Do you really think that we're talking about putting the pot on the door? B'deles solka daitach? Do you think we're putting a pot on the door, it's going to break the door? So the Gemara says, Ela Eimo, what it should have said is V'chein ha-deles. It meant that you can't put the door leaning on this piece of wood as well. That's an improper action. Using this piece of wood for anything other than kindling is not allowed. This is a good break point with this we conclude today's share.